Welcome. It is now 10:31 a.m. on Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. And the September meeting of the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians is called to order. We'll do a roll call. And we'll start with Dale Nyblade, present. Suzanne Coleman.
Present.
Eileen Pettit.
Present.
Michael Searle.
Present.
Deb Bright. Terry Brown. Okay, also present, we have Megan Darien, the executive director of the board, as well as Seth Hargraves, our assistant attorney general. Declaration of conflicts of interest. I do not hear any. Okay, and then the review, discussion, approval of the minutes from the August 3rd, 2022 telephonic board meeting.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the board meeting minutes for August 3rd, 2022 as written.
Hi,
Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. Did someone else just join? Terry, Deb? Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the August 3rd meeting. Any discussion? Again, we'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
We have Deb Bright. Terry or Deb? Deb?
Aye. Deb Bright, aye.
Thank you. Welcome. So now Deb's here. Good. Okay, it's been moved to approve the minutes from the meeting. Now we'll go to agency operations. Director's report.
The submission of bodies, budget development information exchange system for fiscal year 2024 has been filed to the Governor's Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting, OSPB. Also, the 90 days after Governor Ducey's signing of the bill, HB 2612, will become law on September 23, 2022. This law affects the board's statute 32-1682 and 32-1683. This law will supersede the board's rule R420-102.4, which eliminates the requirement of the three moral character letters. This law will change the application of dispensing optician license by examination accordingly on September 23rd and on.
And that, Megan, will automatically be done in the online system?
Yes, actually we have been working on it and it's going to be effective that day. That's basically on September 23rd. The application would not require these three letters.
Okay. Hmm. Thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
Go to number five, possible violation, Alvernon Optical in Green Valley. We have a representative here. I don't know if you want to make any comments, but I'll give you the board's opinion at this point if you're ready.
Sure, President. Yeah, happy to hear the opinion of the board.
Yeah, obviously you are referring to the statutes for exemptions of persons and sales, and that is exemptions to have an optical establishment license. But under our rules, optical establishment license, application for an optical establishment license, rule 4-20-110, number C is to be licensed an optical establishment shall employ at least one dispensing optician licensed by the board for at least 32 hours or more per week. That is not in the statute. That's part of our rules for establishment license. Alvernon Optical's location in Green Valley already has an optical establishment license. And it doesn't change the rule that governs the requirements for that license. The statute is exemptions to getting an establishment license. It's been what we've had many times before. It's the exemptions from people having to have an establishment license.
So President Niley, and I'm sorry if I cut you off. I'll wait if you had another comment.
No, that's fine. I'm just telling you why we make our rules.
Understood, and I understand the board's position. I just want to clarify, we are not seeking any form of exemption from licensure. Really, what we are asking the board, as it has been alleged within various notices and communications from Ms. Darien to Alvernon Optical, is that it does not, quote, employ or have LDOs on staff for 32 hours or more per week. So we're not seeking an exemption from licensure. Really, this matter, really, as you know, we're requesting that the board dismiss this matter and reexamine its interpretation of the 32-hour requirement. Specifically, we're asking that the board adopt an interpretation of its 32-hour requirement that permits an optical establishment to staff multiple LDOs to cumulatively meet the hourly requirement. So just kind of stepping back I'm sorry, go ahead.
I understand what you're looking for. Unfortunately, in order to do that, we would have to change our rule. Our rule is very specific. And right now, we're not in a position to be changing our rules. And this has been something that's been on the rules for many, many years. And we have lots of small, isolated markets that have problems because of the issue of not having a lot of LDOs. We understand that. That's why we've laxed off. It used to be 40 hours. Now it's down to 32. And we also have expedited the process to get opticians licensed and put it in their court to fast track if need be to be able to meet the requirements. And I understand the issue with the small town.
So, President Niblett, if I may again clarify, we're not asking the board to change the rule. We're asking the board to adopt an interpretation of the rule that would be consistent with the verbiage of what the rule states. Again, the rule, as we set forth in our response, and again, the board has broad discretion to interpret its rules as it deems fit. We are not proposing a change in the text of the rule. We are simply requesting that the board adopt an interpretation of the rule, which we believe is supported by the plain language of the text, that would permit, as the rule does, contemplate multiple LDOs to work at an optical establishment for the 32-hour requirement. Again, you've noted the point about how this requirement has a negative and detrimental effect on optical establishments that are located in rural areas, as is Alvernon facilities. And so in these areas where there are optical establishments, it's exceedingly difficult to find individuals to meet this particular requirement. So our first argument position is that the board, again, has broad discretion to interpret the rule as it sees fit. We are not seeking the board to change the particular rule. Now, in the alternative,
unfortunately, in your response to our letter to the store, you're referring to our statutes. Nowhere in your letter did you refer to our rules.
I respectfully disagree. I have the response in front of me right now where we speak specifically to the rule. I would be happy to send that to the board right now. We speak very specifically in listing that rule on multiple pages within our response. So, to clarify, the statute And you said it perfectly, Mr. President. The statute doesn't require an hourly requirement. Your rule does, which goes back to my main point in that the board has discretion to interpret its rules, not its statute. There is no hourly requirement set forth in statute. And the rule very clearly does set forth this hourly requirement.
The statutes establish the definition of what an optical establishment is, which then therefore is covered by our rule. And again, I can let Seth, if Seth has any comments he wants to say, we can discuss it. And this is what we've enforced in the past in other locations, same situations where they've had difficulty finding LDOs, and it hasn't changed our rule.
President Nightblade,
modify our rule, because the verbiage of the rule is very specific. R20-110C says to be licensed, an optical establishment shall employ at least one dispensing optician licensed by the board for at least 32 hours or more per week, verbatim off of the rules. That's what it says. It says one.
President Nightblade, I do not disagree with you with respect to what the rule says. I know what the rule says. I agree with you 100% on what is required for an optical establishment as it is set forth in rule. We would be happy to provide additional documentation and arguments. And in fact, I would encourage you to speak to your counsel about the discretion that the board has on this particular matter to interpret its rules. But in the alternative, okay, notwithstanding, the board wants to continue to adopt this, its interpretation of its rule that a single LDO needs to be on site for 32 hours a week. We can accept that. However, in the alternative, we would ask that in this particular instance, the board would waive that requirement. And again, the board has full discretion to waive certain requirements that are set forth in rule, such as the 32-hour requirement, that again is not set forth in statute. So in this instance, if the board maintains its position and interpretation that a single individual needs 32 hours on site, we would request that, given the rural nature of Alvernon, in addition to multiple other rural facilities that you've mentioned, the board waive this particular requirement because the store actually does have 32-hour coverage at its store. It just happens to have 24 hours from one individual and 6 hours or 8 hours from another individual. So the true intent of the rule in having supervision of an LDO on site, it is met. It is met at this store. And so that's our position. And again, we would request that the board review and consider and take into consideration the broad discretion that it has to, one, interpret its rules, or two, waive certain requirements within its own rule.
Okay, I hear your request. I believe we should probably, Seth, we should go to executive session and have a small discussion.
That's up to you.
Because I don't think we've resolved a thing here, because we have not in the past, since I've been chairman, have done an exemption to the rule of hour coverage for a full-time optician. So I know you're alluding that it's been done in the past. I have no knowledge of that. But we've already had a discussion of this, and Seth was our advisor on how we should stay with the rules as they're written. And I'm not sure that we're in a position where we want to make an exception. Which means basically that we're going to leave them in violation. Any other comments? Any other discussions?
Yeah, President Nightblade, no additional comments from me. I think you understand our position and our request. I am not I am not aware of a prior discussion that may be on the record with respect to this particular issue. Again, the 32-hour requirement issue. I would just restate
I don't think we've ever done it other than when the governor had an executive order that you couldn't enforce some of these. And that was lifted. That was during COVID. Because we were having a problem then. You know, people being sick. But that was a mandate by the governor, and that executive order has been lifted. That was the only time I know that we had an exception to it.
Okay. And again, I reemphasize the point that this is a requirement set forth in rule, Mr. President, and the board has discretion to waive this requirement or interpret that rule as it sees fit. Well, and we are, again, requesting that in this instance where we have a rural facility, which will, in essence, be forced to close down, and these services will no longer be provided within this rural community because of that, we're asking that the board, again, closely consider and its discretion to waive requirements in this instance.
Any other board member have an opinion to that?
Should we go into executive session and discuss
it? This is Deb, and I have a quick question. When we say waive it in this instance, are we saying for what period of time? Is this ongoing, or is this a short amount of time? That's a quick question I have.
I can jump in and answer this. We are as with many, you know, retailers, looking for a full-time, you know, 32-hour optician. That would be our solve also. At this point, we don't have it. There's not in that area, but that is a I wouldn't have a date at this point, but that would be, and that is what we're trying to do right now.
In instances where we have not had a license in the past, we have given a 90-day time frame to rectify the violation. We've done that in Prescott, I believe it was in the past. Because they were having trouble getting license up there. We've done it, I think, pretty much in the past because of, again, the same situation, smaller community, limited number of LDOs, and those locations were either able to resolve it or maybe they closed. I don't follow up on all of them. So I would entertain the fact that we would give you 90 days to come into compliance. If I can get someone to make a motion for that, to allow them to have 90 days to meet the rule requirement as written, not as modified. And that should give them time to make a move to find someone or make a decision as maybe it's not the right place to be. I don't know. We don't make business decisions. We deal with the statutes and the rules. And rules are rules, and we look at them about every year to see if there's things that need to be modified. In the future, this is maybe something we will look at, possibility to maybe modify it. But right now, we're not in a position to do that. We don't have our rule committee scheduled to meet, nor will we before the end of the year. And so we've got to go with our rules the way they are currently written and how they've been enforced in the past. Susie, if you'd like, I'd like to hear, maybe we can get...
Excuse me. Well, Mr. Chairman, I actually have a legal question for Seth. Can we go into executive session? Do we need a motion to do that?
Yes, we were going to do that. Yes, we do.
Okay, well, then I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session for legal questions.
And Eileen Pettit seconds that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to go into executive session. Public member that's there, hang on, we'll be back. We will go to executive session.
You need to vote.
Do a roll call vote to go into executive session. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
And Michael Cyril?
Aye.
Okay, it is 10:53 a.m. and we are now adjourned, going to executive session. For you on the phone, we will be back as soon as we get out of executive session, and we'll see where we go.
Megan, could you please send us the executive session number and PIN?
I did.
Okay. Thank you.